Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Yo. Yo.
Man, you already know what the fuck this is. PSA. Motherfucking radio. We live. We here. We direct. Sports edition. Battle edition. My bro Dre, three letter man. What is good, my G?
Jimbo, what's good, my nigga? What's popping, man? PSA motherfucking podcast. What's good, my G?
Hey, man. We out here, bro. We got a special guest coming on the show today. We got. I'm going to let you intro him. You're a little bit. Tell the people
you.
Who we got, Dre.
Well, we got an NBA legend, man. NBA, former NBA New York City legend here, Kenny Anderson, coming on the show. You know what I mean? Let's be clear, like, quick. You know?
Yes,
always wanted to talk to NBA dudes, so this is going to be dope right here. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. We got a lot to talk about. A little fresh off of the. Man, fresh off the press, Dre. We got Magic Johnson promoted, Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss gone.
Yes, sir.
Feels great on this side, Dre.
It feels good. I can't wait to get Kenny on the show, man. And you a Laker fan. So before,
yeah.
I just want to say this. I know Laker fans are happy, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. You know, it's still a work in progress.
I
but
feel
he did make a trade, though.
I think there's a lot more, as the kids say these days, there's a lot more clout that Magic Johnson has than a Mitch Kupchak or a Jim Buss. You get what I'm saying? There's a lot
mm-hmm.
more respect.
Right.
I think Magic's name
right.
holds a lot more weight. He's able to lure these guys a little bit more into possibly coming to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you heard him say it. Who's the first person you're calling? It's gonna be
Kobe.
It's gonna be Kobe, baby.
Well,
Kobe.
We gotta see. I mean, what does that do though? He's not playing basketball. Let's
yeah.
not get it twisted. Because you great on the court and you a 5-time champion, both Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant. Does that mean it's gonna correlate? I'm happy for the Lakers though, because I like Magic Johnson. I love Magic. That's my guy.
Yes, sir.
You know
yes,
what I'm
sir.
Saying? So, you know, is he on at all? He said he wants to call in.
I don't see a number on him. Private number. On
I just hit him on the DM and shit to see what's goody.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Hold on. See what's going on, dogs. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure everybody's happy today, man. He already made a move already. Shit.
Yes, sir.
He traded on your boy Lou Williams to the Rockets.
Oh yeah.
For Corey Brewer in a first round pick, that's not bad. But the Rockets got a nice squad though. Lou Williams is solid.
They do
though.
Have a light spot. Yo, but, yeah, I know. I think we can make something happen here, bro. I think we can do it.
But when you say make things happen, you got to understand we need to make things happen. It's a process, Tim. It's not going to happen tomorrow, next month, maybe not even next year. But the lure of L.A., of Magic luring
yeah.
free agents, which I thought fuck-ass, bum-ass Phil Jackson would do, Magic's going to do that.
Yeah. I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree 1,000%. You hear from him at all?
I'm looking like, nah, Paul, hold on. Hold on, yeah. Zay about to call up, so, you know.
Cool. Yep. No, it's going to be a goodie, man. Good moves coming down.
Real quick, people on Twitter. People on Twitter, be careful. Hold on. People on Twitter, be careful of the fake accounts, man. These fake accounts are the people saying trades. I fell for the bullshit earlier.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
wait for the
check
mark
and
the reliable sources.
No, as long as Adrian Wojnarowski, my man Woj, that's the only cat that's official. If you want to see a check mark, Woj's name, I don't want to hear from nobody. No disrespect to Stephen A. Smith. Chris Broussard. Woj is that dude. Woj is a monster. Niggas is camping in front of this man's Twitter account like, yo, Woj. Throw a bomb right quick, for real, my G.
That's right. Dre, before we get to this, wasn't called up yet. I got to ask you this, bro. Did you listen to the
call,
Drake?
He said he called twice. Hold on, Kimbo. He said he called twice.
Yep. I didn't. He wasn't on here, bro. All
right, hold on. Let me tell you again.
I didn't see no number. Yo, let's get him. I think this is it. We're going to get him on right now.
Okay.
Let me introduce
this man right quick, man.
Let me hear it, bro.
This is a privilege. This is an honor. I was born in Brooklyn, New York City. My first love was, yes, baseball. But as I got old into my teenage years, I started playing basketball. A few New York City products, Timbo, that I used to sit home and watch play basketball. I'm talking about college basketball in the 90s. Where college basketball was the best ever. There was a brother from New York City, Left Rack, Queens, New York, let's be clear, crossed up Bobby Hurley. That was, you understand, this is the VCR era. This is when you had to rewind that shit and be like, yo, I got to practice that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PSA Podcast. A legend, New York City in the building, Kenny Anderson, man. What's good, man?
Kenny Anderson, what's good, brother?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Kenny, what's good, my G?
Appreciate you coming on, man.
What's up, man? It's a pleasure. How y'all doing? You doing good?
We're doing good, my brother. As an NBA legend, this is the time of the year, Kenny. Twitter's on an uproar. Social media's on an uproar, my guy. All the NBA trades. First off, what do you think about Magic Johnson getting a new position today, Kenny?
Well, no, I thought it was great. One of the best that ever did it, Laker legend, greatest, if not the greatest point guard in the game. He trying to, the Lakers right now is in dire need to change, to change the program around, the organization around. And I don't know, it's going to take some time. They're going to have to, they're building around the young players. Magic being a salesman like he has been after retiring, and being a great point guard, he knows how to build a team, but it just takes time with the salary cap and players being moved and things that nature, and not only talent. You got to know how to bring a team together as far as the personalities and the chemistry.
Yeah.
I think the guy, if I was anyone, getting into that, if I was becoming a GM, a president of basketball, I would probably reach out to Joe Dumars and pick his brain a little bit, because he did an extremely great job by building that Detroit Piston team.
Word.
Detroit Piston team for 5-6 years, going to the Eastern Conference Finals, also winning a championship. He was one of the top defensive guards, that ever played in the league, and also a great offensive player. But he transitioned into being a great GM and building a team. So it's not as easy as you know how talented Magic Johnson was on the court. It's not as easy as building a team.
Do you think it's gonna make a difference with Magic's name holding a lot more weight? I feel like as far as respect goes, than say a Jim Buss or a Mitch Kupchak, just based on the last 5 to 7 years about how the things have gone with the Lakers.
Yeah, I think so. He's been in the fire. He's a winner. He's a champion. And plus he's doing a lot more other things outside of basketball.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, you gotta be a salesman. You gotta when these free agents come in and visit the organization, and you gotta say, these guys wanna win. They wanna also do other things in this era, these kids are so it's interesting because they wanna do everything else. They wanna do everything outside of basketball. But instead of worrying about their craft.
Yeah.
So you're in Hollywood now, You know, they're going to want to play, and then they're going to want the endorsements. They're going to want to hang out with all the Hollywood stars. And who better than Magic Johnson? I just think it's a can't lose situation. And I think he's going to go back into some of the players. I would like to see that happening all over the league. Like some of these organizations going back to some of the vets, you know, including myself one day. I don't know if I want to coach, but I definitely would want to help an organization, you know, building a team. And, you know, I'm not sure. I like the youth. I train kids right now.
Yeah, I know
now.
You coach
like
youth, though.
They it's more rewarding. They need me more than the pros. If I had the opportunity, a great opportunity to maybe be a head coach, but I don't know if I could do the assistant and hold a clipboard and not have much to say. You know what I mean? And put out fires at the end of the bench, you know, with some of these young guys that's going nuts, you know. So it's a little different being an assistant coach, being a third or fourth assistant. Or, you know, I can see myself maybe being a player development guy, you know. I could just work with the players, and I don't have to worry about the other things that are maybe the staff I have to work with.
Now, Kenny and Timbo, here's the twist. Now, they just hired the Lakers I'm talking about, fellas. Rob Pelinka, who's Kobe Bryant's agent at the time, now is a general manager, Kenny. We haven't seen an agent now GM wearing a GM hat. Is that conflict of interest, or how is he going to, you know, have no experience,
no
credentials?
I don't know. There's the rules and regulations to that. I think he has to step down from being an agent now, number one. But it's a slide. It's slide. He'll step down, but he'll still have his power in that field. So he'll still be, you know, connected to maybe some of these players, you know, in the free agent world, because he knows he's still I think James Harden and a couple of other guys that he represents. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but I think he represents some of these big time players now. But he will have to step down from that. And also, like I said, I just think Magic. You know, leaders, great leaders, you know, they form a great team around them. They form a great team, and they put guys in position who knows what they have to do. And I think that's what Magic Johnson is great at. And I think he gets that, you know, from being a point guard, working with different personalities and things of that nature.
Kenny, we heard Magic say, the first call that he's making is to Kobe. Now, do you call Kobe? And if so, what do you have him do as far as what would be his job? Do you consult him?
I don't know.
And build the team, front office, you know?
You definitely put him somewhere in the Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest Lakers. You put him in there somehow, but I don't know if that's, you know, I pick his brain, you know, get some info, maybe a consultant. Maybe a consultant, but you know, I think Magic can do this on his own. You know, I really believe so. You know, you have great players around him. That's all those great Lakers. You know, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe, James Worthy, Michael Thomas, Byron Scott. We tried to coach. He didn't do as well as a coach, but you know, they definitely have influence on some of the decisions. You know, I think Magic just gotta. You know, he just picked. You know, he'll just pick those guys' heads and see, you know, get different advice. And then he'll be the guy at the end of the day that makes the final decision.
Well, Kenny, I mean, the man's been in the job less than 24 hours, and he already made a move trading Lou Williams to Houston for Corey. I mean, trading Lou Williams to Houston for first-round pick and Corey Brewer. So Magic's already, you know, making moves already.
Yeah, that's I think right now we got to build from the young. So he got to clean up. He got to clean house a little bit. He got to clean most of everybody out of there except Russell, Brandon, Randall.
Ingram.
You know, Ingram. Ingram. Yeah, that's you keep the three. I think it's three or four of those young guys. I like Clarkson also. I like Clarkson.
Yeah, Clarkson.
Clarkson.
Yeah. Word. Jordan Clarkson.
Ingram.
Yeah.
Ingram. You keep Clarkson, Ingram, Randall. And you keep the young. And then you build around them. But they got a lot of people on that team. They got a lot of people on that team, a few of those guys. That's just, you know, and they're losing right now. So a lot of those veterans, they should probably waive and give them an opportunity to maybe, you know, get maybe with a playoff team like Lou Williams. He's going to be great for the Houston Rockets.
The Houston
Rockets going to be scary.
Yeah.
Facts.
With D'Antonio's offense, they're going to open everything up like they do. And Lou Williams is a killer out there. He's a straight scorer off the bench. So that's going to be dangerous.
Mm. Now, Kenny, man, I'm sad, my brother. Help me out, man. My Knicks, man. We are just out here looking trash from organization to the players, Kenny. It just hurt me, my brother. I've been there since Pitino, man. I've been a Knicks fan since Pitino, Kenny.
That's awesome.
It's hurting me, brother. This is Ron Strickland, man.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel for my New Yorkers. I'm an ex-Net, so
Hold on, Kenny. Let's be clear. 91 draft, second pick. I remember watching the draft in the crib. Everybody going crazy in the garden when your name got selected number two after Larry Johnson, my brother. I remember this vividly.
Yeah, I was, my mother wanted me to be a Knick, but they didn't have they had the lower draft pick. But my, I'm a New Yorker, man. I love the city game, basketball, and I wish the two teams was doing well. To see them struggle, I feel for my New York basketball fans. But the Knicks are just, you know, they tried to experiment with Rose and Noah. And them guys is in their prime. They passed their prime. They got a lot of injuries. And it didn't work out. It just didn't work. And I don't know if Jeff Hornacek was the perfect fit. You know,
he
I don't
wasn't,
know.
Kenny.
I would like to go back to that. I was going to say that Mark Jackson or Patrick Ewing, when those guys, Ewing was, you know, up for head coaching jobs and having God, I think you should have went back into the archives of your legends, especially Mark Jackson at the time when he was let go from Golden State. He was proven winner. You know, he really built that Golden State team together, put it together, and then Steve Kerr came in and finished the job. But, it's kind of sad, but I do want to take my hat off to Carmelo Anthony, who's a great player, but he's handling himself very well with the media. And I think they're trying to use him as a scapegoat. But he's being professional. He's just coming out and he's playing hard and just under all the circumstances. So it's tough, man, for New York Knicks fans right now.
Now, Kenny, all this thing Phil doing here, he did the trade rumors of trading Melo to the Cavs for Kevin Love, who's injured right now. Kenny, this man's out for 6 weeks. Like, what sense does that make if Phil wanted to pull the trigger on trading Melo for K Love? Like,
that's not going to happen. If I was Cleveland, I wouldn't even do that either. I wouldn't move Love. I just like the chemistry. I think Love fits in to LeBron's scheme of things with Kyrie Irving. I just don't think Melo would be able to really sit in a corner and wait for the ball at times. I just think Melo was more prolific scorer. You know, if you want to say the ball stops when he gets it, but he's a great scorer. I think the last time Melo was really successful was in Denver. He had those pieces around him when they went to the Western Conference Finals, but I just don't know. With the Knicks, he's been with 3-4 different coaches, players in and out of the lineup, different looks. He just never had a certain core that he could really progress in. I think the 2-3 years when he had veterans around him who respected, like Jason Kidd,
Chauncey
Wallace, when the Knicks won those 54 games. You know, I think
Mike Woodson,
but. Cleveland, I just wouldn't, with Melo, I just don't think he would fit with Kyrie and LeBron type of game. He's not a Love. His personality, and his game is not like Love.
Right. Do you think Melo helps though? Let's say they made that trade. Do you think LeBron and them would look at it more like? Because let's be real, Kenny. It's not about the Eastern Conference, man. LeBron is worried about San Antonio and Golden State at the end of the day, and he probably looks at it like K-Love is injured. We, you know, another you get 20 points with Melo. You know, you think maybe he's probably thinking at it back. Because let's be real, I think LeBron makes all the moves anyway. That's just my opinion. You know what I'm saying? He's the GM. He's the director of operations. So you saying you wouldn't make that move if you were Cavs?
I don't know. I'm like, if I was a GM, I would be 50-50 it, but I just wouldn't pull it. I just wouldn't pull the trigger. I just wouldn't be comfortable with that. With the body of work, Melo is awesome. He's a great talent. He's a great player. But I'm just saying the fit. I just don't think he fit into the play of Kyrie and LeBron and the way it's set. He would have to defer a little bit, and I don't know if he's ready to do that. I don't know if he's ready to do that.
What was your take on the Charles Oakley situation? I saw you on Twitter that night when the situation was going down.
Yeah, that's my guy. I was sad, you know, to see a legend like that, you know, play with an organization for 10 years, gave him, you know, sweat and blood out there on the court type of play he was. He might not have been the best player, but he was the most popular player in Knicks history, one in the history of the Knicks. And to get treated like that is just wrong. I thought just the whole thing was handled the wrong way, and showed no respect for a legend. You know, and with the tradition the New York Knicks have and everything, it just didn't look right. And then on top of that with the losing, and then with the tweets going out by Phil Jackson, it's just a lot of chaos over there right now. It's just, you know, what's going on. And that just took the cake after that.
That's what it is, Kenny. So, Kenny,
I got to – go on, Dre. Dre, go ahead. Kenny, I gotta ask you this. Did you see the Allen Iverson clip by chance of what he was saying? He got asked if he was gonna head coach, and is that something you would like to see? He obviously declined it, and he said, "I'm not playing for no dude that make more money than me. I'm not coaching nobody making more money than me. That's not happening." Would you ever like to see Allen Iverson on that bench coaching at all?
I'm not sure. It's not for everybody. I just think some players don't, you know, want to deal with it. Yeah, it can't be about the money. You know what I mean? You just got to have the love, the passion. I love coaching. It's a challenge. You know, I'm playing through the young guys, and I'm playing through them. So the challenge of winning games and putting those young guys at different spots so they can be successful. And, you know, that's my main thing about coaching is that I'm still involved in the game. You know what I mean? But I don't think it has to be about – it can't be about money. It's about money, and you're not going to really put your full passion in it, you know what I mean? Putting plays together to get guys open shots or putting guys in situations where they're able to be successful, challenging players to get better, you know, practicing, going to the practices – you know, seeing guys develop and seeing guys, you know, be successful when things are not going right for them. And then all of a sudden mid-season or 15, 20 games in, they start getting it. And it's a beautiful thing when that happens, man. And when you're not playing, it's like you're really out there because the guys out there like, wow, you're a family again. You know what I mean? So that's one of the things. I get more joy with my travel team. Seeing those guys excited when we win, and also in the practices, you know, working on their game, working on their shots, getting reps up, shooting, you know, tons of jump shots. And then when we get in the game and they start hitting them, they start realizing it. Like, wow, it's the work I'm putting in. Yeah, that's why we hit you. This is why you're doing this. So it's just the whole makeup, you know. And I think anything I've learned, you know, if you put your passion in something and you work towards something, it doesn't have to be about the money. The money will come, you know what I mean? But it can't be a money issue. And that's why I would get more reward out of coaching the young kids or college kids. The pro guys already pros. They should be. No, it's not that much teaching in the NBA. Guys know how to play the game. Now it's about managing egos, putting guys in situations on the court, like, you know, a la Popovich. He's like the greatest.
Yes.
The greatest coach out there and doing this. He will tell you. These guys got talent, but it's also, you know, managing egos and getting those guys to play night in and night out. And not only play, but play the right way and give themselves up. Give themselves up to make the team better. So you become, you become selfless for one goal, and that's to win a championship because you sacrifice.
Yeah.
So that's a coach. And when you get those guys to think that way and they respect you and they rally, you know, behind you and they listening to what you're getting across, and when you coach it, you have to work. These guys, they're not dummies. So you got to work. You got to look at film and different game strategies. And these pros know. So they'll look at you and be like, man, he's not even, you know, putting the work in. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then they start going left field and they turn you off. So it's a big-time challenge when you coach it. And that's what I get out of it, if I could get it. And that's what's so hard for coaches that fail. Because they really love it. They're trying to do it. But when the 12, 15 guys ain't buying in, it's just not going to work for you.
So, I agree.
Kenny, what do you think about this era of the NBA when all these guys are teaming up and forming up? And, you know, LeBron, you have the Celtics with Pierce, Ray Allen and Garnett, then you had Wade, the big three, then LeBron going to Cleveland, then you got Golden State. Are you a fan of that, with guys teaming up where it's like, yo, let's just team up and try to get this shit?
I'm in the era of the 90s, so if I'm a point guard, you know, I try to meet, you know, I happen to have, you know, I always, you know, wish that I would have played with a better, a greater big man, like Shaq. Like, I was getting, like, you know, Derek Fisher and all the point guards that played at L.A.
Right.
You know, getting them chips. If I had a big, dominant big man like Shaq and another two-guard like Kobe Bryant.
Who'd you play with, son? Yekidare, right? Yekidare was your center?
Nah, for a minute, for a year. He didn't really do as well as everybody thought, but he was a good young man, man. He lost his life. He had a heart attack many years ago.
Right.
He was trying, though. He worked, but he just couldn't turn the corner and become successful in the NBA. But I played with probably one of the best players I ever played with Derek Coleman. You know, he was one of the best big men I ever played with. He was great.
Mm.
And then Drazen Petrovic, he was awesome. So we had a great team.
Yeah.
I always wondered if he wouldn't die and we would have played 2, 3, 4 years together, you know, more years, how we would have been. We would have been very successful.
Yeah.
But, you know, he passed. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think about playing with other stars. Big man, you know, point guard, you always want that group, that great big man and that shooting guard. You know, but now these guys are teaming up superstars in their prime. You know, I think guys in certain positions and things of that nature, the top players in my era wanted to be the man. They didn't want to. They wanted to compete like Michael Jordan.
They wanted to play
They want to play against them. They want to play against the best. They didn't want them guys to come in and take their shine from them. They was like, I'm going to compete and I'm going to make this team better. And now these guys, it's their choice. The lead right now is at a great spot. The revenue money, it's like a huge college right now.
Right.
So God's got the opportunity to do what they like, but it's just a little softer and a little mentality. the mentality of the players is different because I think it's the money. there's a lot more money
right.
going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the attitude is a lot different.
Because, Kenny, when you were playing, free agency wasn't run amok the way it is now when you were in the NBA. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't. You had to – you really – most guys stayed with their own teams every now and then you move around. But it's a little different. It's a lot different, man. The whole game, you know, even from travel ball to college ball to pro ball, every basketball around the world is different right now. You know what I mean? And, it's a global – it's a business, man, and I think everybody got to understand that.
Kenny, what's the biggest thing that you miss from those days, from you playing?
You know what? Honestly, I had a great run, 14 years, and I've been out for 12 now.
Yeah.
So I don't really miss it no more. I really don't. My first 2-3 years out the lead, I missed it.
Tough.
Probably the team chemistry, the travel, you know, the brotherhood, you know, being on the team bus with the guys. You know, that I missed that somewhat when I first – you know, got out of the lead, but after a while, it just, you know, you get older, get more mature, and you just gotta, you know, you gotta move on, man. I had a great run, and my run is up.
Yo, son, that Celtics team that you, it was you, Pierce, and Antoine Walker, the year y'all played the Nets, that war y'all had with Jersey, man.
Yeah, that was great.
That was some of the
that was
low
great.
Key, that was some of great basketball on some real shit, though. For real.
Yeah, that was great. You know, Nets had, Jason Kidd and Jefferson and Kenyon Martin and myself, Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker, Kerry Kittle.
Yeah,
there was some great battles. They the East was tough back then, you know. It was just great, man, you know. Basketball back then was like that. I think every year and especially every 5 to 10 years, they changed the rules and the regulation of the league. You know, when I was in there early 90s, it was more physical. You know what I mean? They didn't call, you know, so many fouls. Then it changes now where you can't touch nobody. It's really –
flagrant
foul. It's really set up for the point guards or the quick guards to really be successful, because all you got to do is get in the lane and get bumped a little bit. You get fouls. You be on the foul line. You got guys – I remember one game I watched Dirk Nowitzki shoot 24 free throws, you know, in a game. 24 free throws. And he was like, he's a jump shooter somewhat.
Right.
And he getting somebody average. You know, he getting 20 points on free throws. So it's a different type of game.
Mm. Kenny, last question before we wrap it up here. LeBron or Michael Jordan?
Well,
come on.
But for this era, you know, LeBron is the Michael Jordan for these kids, this generation era. And he's a great player, and he's probably going to get all the records, you know, when it's all said and done with no injuries and he keeps playing. He's a terrific player. He's my favorite player in the league. But I'm just going to – I have to give the edge to Jordan, because I say – and I always tell all these young guys, I just think my era, you know, I think our era was tougher. You know what I mean? I just think the era was tough. Now, I'm not saying that LeBron wouldn't do the same thing. And I'm not sure. He would do some things, what he's doing. But I just think it would be a little more
difficult.
Man,
let's be real, Kenny. If he came in the lane with Oakley and Mason or the Davis boys in Indiana, LeBron can handle it in the 90s.
The 90s, it'll be – what I'm saying is, and he'll get some numbers, but it'll be a lot different. It'll be a lot difficult for him. But he's a great talent. I do believe he's a better passer than Michael Jordan or Kobe. You know, Kobe and Mike was like willing. They're not willing passers. They pass when they're double teamed and all that. LeBron really likes to pass the ball. He's in the shell of a Magic Johnson. You know, that could score. So he's very talented. But I'm just saying, all in all, for the era he's in. And that's how I judge all these great players. I just judge on the different eras the guys played in. You know, that's the competition, more teams. It was just different.
Yeah.
Well, Kenny, my man, I appreciate you rocking with us, my dude, for real, man. It's an NYC legend right here, man. This is just, you know, before you go, last question, Kenny. What is it about NYC point guards? You – with Tiny Archibald, Kenny Smith, Marbury. What is it about the point guards of New York City that they breed point guards?
Well, my thing is, you know, I'm from, you know, when I grew up in New York and I played in high school, I was like the top point guard. It wasn't too many. So I just give love and respect, you know, as I was doing my documentary, Mr. Chibbs. I go on there, MrChibbs.com. I always give the respect to guys before me, you know, Mark Jackson, Pearl Washington, big guys like Kenny Patterson, Boo Harvey, Kenny Hutchinson. These are guys, Rod Strickland. Those are the guys that I respect and admire and always wanted to have some of their game in my game. You know, it was like five or six of those guys. I took their game and put it in mine. Kenny Smith, Pearl, all those guys. It was some great point guards. And they was in the mid-'80s, and I watched them growing up. You know what I mean? So guys from New York, the point guards, we could dribble. We got handles. That was the main thing. When you knew you was going against a New York point guard, you knew he had handles. But I came in the late 90s, I could hit that little mid-range jump shot. So they kind of separated me a little bit. You know, Kenny Smith was a great shooter. He was a great shooter. And that could fly down the court and dunk. Mark Jackson had great vision. He was kind of big.
Word.
6'4", 6'5", but he was slow. But he had great vision. Rod Strickland. You know, he was real tricky and crafty around the basket.
Yep.
Quick, get to the whole Pearl Washington, another real crafty, you know, with the floaters and a little teardrop shot, you know, and Pearl. So it's just all those guys got different games. But, you know, I think Pearl, Mark Jackson, Kenny Smith, Rod Strickland, and Boo Harvey, those were the guys that they grew up playing against each other. So that in different high schools and all that. So that was the era of point guards, you know what I mean? And it made New York, you know, real special.
Kenny, man, we appreciate you rocking with us, my dude, for real, man. Thank you for coming to PSA Podcast, my
brother. Man. Y'all better go on to MrChibbs.com and check out my documentary. It'll be out soon.
Absolutely. Kenny, we appreciate you, brother.
My man. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Take care, brother.
All right.
Shout out to Kenny Anderson coming on the show, man. Legendary, as my bro Dre would say. Very legendary.
Yo, that's crazy. Bucket list, because we always said, Timbo, we want an athlete on this show. But for a damn 2 years, we kept saying we want an NBA star to come in or a legend, whoever, or somebody even playing in the game associated with the NBA to come on the show. So to have a legend like Kenny Anderson come on the show, I think that's big. I can't wait for people to hear this shit, man. You know what
Shout out Kenny coming on the show. Dre, let's shift a little gears now into some battle rap.
Yes, sir.
I saw the battle once. You saw it a little bit more, so you can probably do a little bit better of a breakdown than I can. But let's get into it, man. King of the Dot. The Bunker, it's out now. A-Verb versus Thesaurus is going. Yeah, I mean, it went down. Let's get it. It's already out, man. So I'm going to get my popcorn real quick, even though I'm in the car, because we do these shits legendary. Dre, what did you think about this battle, bro?
First off, Timbo, when I saw the card for The Bunker and I saw A-Verb versus Thesaurus, I was like, I don't know about this. But I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was dead wrong. This was a good battle. This was a very good battle. In fact, I'll even go on record and say, the only problem I had with this battle, Timbo, and I don't know if you feel me on this, that battle wasn't 3 minutes, or was it?
Three minutes around. Nope.
I have no problem because what they delivered in the 2 minutes or 2:30, whatever they did, they came through. This was a good battle.
Yeah.
Verb sets it off first round. He goes into his angles about making Thesaurus great again. I just like the way our verb went in. He said he wanted to battle Awkwards instead of Thesaurus. Like, we haven't heard that name in a long time. So when Verb said he wanted to battle Awkwards, I was like, okay. Because truth be told, my dude, I know that niggas go back to your grind time era, my G. Awkwards was getting names out there, son.
Yep.
Am I lying, Timbo? Aquas was not getting names. T-Rex? Arsenal?
Hollow?
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
Bro.
So What happened to Aqua's tomorrow? Come on, what happened to Aqueezy, man? Aqueezy should get busy, though, son. I had low key, son, he beat Arsenal, in my opinion.
He did good against Arsenal. Man, he did good against Let me tell you something. He did good against Arsenal. Let me tell you something, bro. He didn't do bad against Hollow either.
Can I piggyback on what you say, my brother? Hollow won, but Aqueez was not bad at all, B.
Awkward stood in there with Hollow, bro. There was no chokes, no nothing. He had bars. It's just, you know, no one was beating Hollow that day, bro. Hollow was on his shit that battle. But
facts.
I'm just saying, bro, Awkward stood in there, and he delivered three rounds.
Mm-hmm. So, with Verba say he went about Awkward, I'm not going to front. Grind Time era, I wouldn't mind seeing that. We haven't seen Awkward in a long time. That's neither here nor there. Verb wordplay was a motherfucking point, man. He said, I've seen your little horse for your level. That bitch is gorgeous. What's crazy, that bitch is gorgeous. Her level every day, I ignore it. You probably ain't fucking it right. You playing undercover like Halle Berry or Swordfish.
Swordfish.
Verb. Yo, Verb's wordplay is just, man.
Yeah.
You up here with that cop swag looking oinkish. Like, he's saying some wild shit. Solid round by Verb. Like I said in the beginning, Timbo, I just wanted to hear more because the rounds were so short. But for what he did in his first round, I thought was solid. Talk to me, Timbo.
I feel you, bro. I thought it was a solid, solid first round from Verb. Like you said, the only thing that got me was I didn't know that the times were so short when I went into watching it. So I was like, yo, that's it? Like, you're doing good, bro. What happened? So I feel you, though, that I wish it was longer, but... Yo, shout out to Burr, man. He did great that first round. Solid.
Round one, Thesaurus. Now, Thesaurus goes right in. Like we said, not every A-Verb opponent picks the same way to approach him. But I feel like challenging Showtime would just be shameless promotion. Like, I like how Thesaurus set off his first round. The Kool-Aid entrance line was solid. The one shot let the spirit like a confidence booster. I put 100 bands on it, like a Lollapalooza or some shit like that he was saying. I like that shit. The radio top 40 line was cool. I like how Thesaurus even ended his round, Timbo, when he said, you can tell I'm heavyweight the way these hands hit you. So when they knock you back to St. Louis, bitch, take the Rams with you.
The Rams
I ended
that. I like that a lot. Yeah, that was fire.
How Thesaurus ended his round, man. Listen, solid round from both dudes. I would edge it to Verb in the first round for me. I'm not taking nothing away from Thesaurus, I would edge it to Verb in the first round from both.
Yep, I'm giving you the same thing. Round two, who you got?
I got Thesaurus. I mean, Verb in that first round. Round two, Verb goes straight into Showtime in the second round. Two arms round that body like that's a Heimlich. I was cold, Verb. We said, my son wears a size 10. Silence said, you don't want the problems. Be quiet. There's some other shit he went to. I like all that shit Verb was doing, man. I am not the American Idol, so I ignore the opinions. You Simons, when y'all chime in, you a mild writer, a loud liar, who just got the crowd hype, but like, bro, yo, he be going in and out like double dutch with them rhymes, boy.
Bro. Verb was on his wordplay shit this battle.
Hard body, man. I'm cold rapping, whole package, cold packing, pro static, hose static. Like a cat coke addict, like, yo, Verb. Damn, Timbo, man. We have to get the talk before we finish the fucking segment here. What do you think about Verb retiring? Because as I'm watching him rhyme Timbo, I'm like, damn, my nigga, like, there's other niggas that should be retiring than Verb. I know he's been shaky.
If he had a shitty battle, it'd be a lot easier to say, yo, take your jersey, bro, hang it up, you're gone, you're done. But yo, like, he kind of low key turned back the hands of time and did shit to where it's like, where the fuck has this been? Let's go, bro. Why are you leaving us?
Facts. I was feeling the same way. Solid round by Verb. Round two, Thesaurus. Thesaurus, my nigga. Hold on, bro. How you go in your pocket pull out your phone and talk about, let me get my first word. I just hate niggas. I hate seeing niggas' cell phones in their hands in battles. Neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I did like the angle the source was saying how him and Verb Hustle are the same. The Olympic torch line was solid. The great sports out of the ground was cold. You know what I'm saying? I did like how the source was breaking down Verb, like you a legend and you being selfish and you been there how long, you're not taking the craft serious. I did like how the stories did put that together and shit. Yo, my nigga, I ain't gonna lie. The Soros had one of the illest lines of the battle when he said, how you from St. Louis? How come we said from St. Louis, how come what you pitching isn't Wainwright?
Oh, isn't Wainwright.
Nigga.
Yeah. That's your fire.
Do your sports Googles, niggas. I watch baseball too. Yep. So it's drinking that shit on my head, nigga. I watch baseball, nigga. Yo, that shit was hard. I was like, whoa,
that shit was
the jazz face when I heard that shit. I was like,
yeah.
Okay, Thesaurus. Yo,
that shit was
I thought this was the most debatable round of the battle, my brother, but I would edge it to Verb, but I can't get mad if somebody said Thesaurus. It's a close round. I did like a Thesaurus ended the round when he started breaking down Verb and what he hasn't done, how he's slacking the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I would edge it to Verb, but I did like Thesaurus in the second round symbol.
I thought it was a great, great round for this one. Like you said, it is the closest. I'm going Thesaurus on this one, yo. Like you said, that bar kind of put it over for me. I was like, yo, let me run that shit back real quick.
Yeah,
that bar
was cold.
Flames, bro. But no, it was dope from both of them. I could see it going either way. I'm not mad at somebody picking Verb for that second round. It's cool.
And I'm not mad for somebody picking Thesaurus. I'm really not in that second round.
Yeah.
Round three, the retarded brother nipple line, that shit was cold. You get another Showtime. Once again, the wordplay was just nasty, man. We said, you can't sell this fake shit in a big room. It's not a flea market. And, yo, Timbo, every time he battles a king of the dot, yo, Virtus, yo, they fuck with him, first of all, and he knows how to. He's one of the few cats, and I hate using this terminology, but it is what it is. Smack rapper or you are rapper, but it is what it is. When them cats decide to go across the border and battle the king of the dot, Verb does good on KOTD. Whether he's got to win or lose some battles,
does.
He knows how to cater to the crowd. His bars, they really fuck with the shit he's saying over there. You know what I'm saying?
They do. I agree.
And Verb was mad aggressive, man. You know what I'm saying? Like you said earlier, man, like, where this been at? I didn't want to hear this man stop rhyming. Did like Verb's third round. So what you got to buy his third round, brother?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was solid, bro. Verb was consistent through this whole shit. So I thought it was a great round, too. Definitely.
Round three, Thesaurus talked about Rome, saying that, you know, he want to battle for the chain. I don't know about that, Thesaurus, because let's see, like, I'm going to be real. Head Ice and Roan, I have interest in that. I got Wolf winning that battle. So is Wolf going to be the guy get the chain and maybe battle Thesaurus? We don't know. The Mazda 6 line was hilarious. He threw in the plug joke. I got solid round from Thesaurus. I got Verb 3-0 or maybe 2-1 debatable. Once again, Simbo, I didn't think this was a bad battle. Only problem I had, I wish it was a minute longer because both of them was and as much as people get on Thesaurus, I thought he was solid in this battle and shit. And it was good to see Burr actually come battle because you might think to yourself, okay, he's battling Thesaurus, he might not give a fuck, rada, rada, rada. No, he actually gave a fuck.
Yeah.
So you motherfuckers who say Burr, he actually gave a fuck compared to what Matt
Hopkins
is going to show off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I got Burr 2-1 on this one, yo. It was a good battle. Shout out King of the Dot. Definitely, definitely a good battle. Just like you, I kind of wish the rounds were longer. But who knows, Dre, if the rounds were longer, who knows how many dry spots there could have been. Maybe this was the perfect amount of time for these artists to go against each other, you know?
I didn't think about that.
That.
I didn't think about that. You got a point. You got a point.
I think it was dope, man. Shout out King of the Dot. Shout out Verb. Shout out Solaris. Dope battle. Great battle. people go and check that shit out, man. It is out right the fuck now. Now, Dre, I got about 5 minutes. Yo, go ahead.
We got 5 minutes. I want to get your opinion on somebody. We don't got, you wasn't around. I broke down the battle. Were you able to see Mass and show off? We ain't breaking it down. I just want your opinion. Did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, damn. Mass. My nigga. Go ahead, Tim. What were you going to say, man? Go ahead. What do you think? You got 5 minutes.
People are going to call me stupid while you talk about this. Dre, did you get a chance to hear this, that Drake interview that just came out?
Can we talk about that? Yes, sir. I would love to talk about that with you, sir. Yes, I heard it, sir. Go ahead. Floor is yours. You go first, please. Next element, a.k.a. Timbo. Please go ahead.
The one where Dre kind of opens up a little bit about more talking about in detail about the whole Meek Mill situation, about Kanye West, and kind of everything that's going on with him. And people just kind of going at him. You never really hear him open up about some shit like this. So I wanted to kind of get your opinion on some of the things that were said. He does it. Let me tell you this, Drake. He does it in a very Aubrey way. Am I right?
I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad you threw that caveat out there. Go ahead, sir.
He does it in a very Aubrey way. I can't see it done any other way. Now, let me talk about real quick. Let's talk about Kanye real quick. Right? Drake and Kanye real quick. So they talk about everything that happened with Kanye. I guess the DJ Syntax was like, Kanye was recently seen on stage talking about you being overplayed a lot or blah, 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 on the radio too much and this and that. Am I right? So Drake was like, he kind of responded back. He's like, I saw that. It's crazy because, they'll say something in the same breath, they'll say something else, but I accept whatever he's going through, but I don't respect that shit at all, blah, 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 this and that. Kind of low-key dissing him, obviously. What do you think about that?
Right.
He did it in an Aubrey Drake-ish way. What do you think about it?
Now, I will say this. Now, let's take it back to when he did the first interview when Views was dropping. What was the nigga he was?
He did it with Zane Lowe.
Thank you.
Zane Lowe.
Right. So when he did it with Zane Lowe the first time, if you remember Timbo, he was kind of showing love to Kanye. He was even saying they got songs in the stash. Yeah. They got songs in the stash. Yeah. That's his man. They be chilling.
We're low key working on a project together. Yeah, absolutely.
Facts. So. I hear Drake say this, I'm thinking to myself, the man did show you bad love, my dude. But Drake, you have to know Kanye's a nut job, my nigga. We all know this. He's a bipolar motherfucker. I know Game, people thought Game was bipolar. No, Kanye is bipolar. You know what I'm saying?
And
so,
you know what? That's what remember what Drake said it, though. He's like, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Talking about half the time when this dude talks, so I'm gonna be honest.
Right.
He said that about
I think that's a sucker move by Ye. What he did, even when he got a Jay Z, when he got a Khaled. But I would say this though, Trey.
Yeah.
You up there talking about Khaled? But Khaled has got a song with Jay Z and Beyonce where Jay Z stole a couple jabs, an uppercut there, my G. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I can understand him feeling some type of way about Kanye.
I can.
Who's the next victim?
I can too. I completely agree with you. All right, let's get into this whole Meek Mill shit, right? So, the brunt of the interview was really kind of dissect and get in a little bit more in detail about what really happened. Now, first of all, he goes in on Meek Mill about, he was just very emotional. Drake was really thinking that, what you and I thought was going on, what people thought was going on, we got it pretty much on the head. So Drake was thinking that Meek was really prepared, right? You're talking shit. You must be ready to go. Let's get it. So Drake dropped charged up just like people thought, just so, let's see what Meek has. You're ready. Let's see what you got. Nothing. And then you hear Drake say, I realized when he didn't drop anything after a day or so, this motherfucker wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared. He doesn't know what he was doing. So then pretty much what he was saying was he was just very emotional. That's why he did that. It was all talk. Very emotional person. I don't want to be friends. You know, everybody can kind of, like the DJ said, time heals wounds, right? You see Hov and Nas, they're cool, right? They were saying some crazy shit to each other. But I feel like the DJ said, there was a level of respect there, Dre, for the type of MC that they were. You respected that.
Definitely.
That's why you did this, right? So what is DJ saying is like, yo, there's no level of respect there for Meek as part of Drake's on Drake's part. But what he did say was, yo, I dropped back to back to fucking end it. This was it. I wanted to make sure I got, you know, somebody gave me advice. I want to make sure that this dude hears this forever and that this is it. I'm not talking about this shit ever again. And then boom, he dropped. And that was it.
Here's the thing, Timbo.
That was it.
And when he broke down that story, I did like that part of his story when he's breaking down the whole situation with Meek. It sounded like they were cool at one particular time. Drake even talked about Meek, saying when Meek said, oh, that, you know, he had a show in Philly and he told everybody that Drake was coming. And Drake said that.
I found that out Drake about the day before.
Exactly. And he said,
not tweeting his album. Yeah.
Right. Talked about that also. And he said that, I guess he had a conversation with his homeboy, and his homeboy told Drake, bro, if you going to get at Meek, you got to make this shit sting. It got to hit everywhere.
Yeah.
I just love this. I love these kind of stories in hip hop. He just
broke
down
basically.
I do
too, bro. I do too. Especially the friend. Drake, especially the friend saying it, not even like an artist.
Yeah.
He
would disclose
like
the friend. He would disclose the friend, though.
Yeah, exactly. I want to unbiased.
He would disclose his homie.
You killed this dude. That's it. Never again. You're done.
So he said that it has to be a song that's going to be played everywhere. And Drake even said that he was kind of, not to use the word scared, but he was thinking to himself like, he doesn't know what Meek going to do. Who's going to jump on the track with him? He thought that it was going to be like at least seven niggas, like maybe Kendrick.
Yeah. Drake was saying, yo, I'm kind of like, yo, I wonder who he got on the diss track against me. I'm a little bit, I'm intrigued to see who's on it, pretty much is what he was saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And then lo and behold, Beanie Siegel. Okay, go ahead. I'm playing.
Yeah. And then he just saw it like, he was irritated because, you know, Meek was discrediting him because of Drake not writing rhymes. And I hate that shit. You niggas don't write your rhymes. I hate that shit. But Drake said that, yo, you tried to discredit me. You tried to take food from my family. So, yo, Drake did what he had to do. I fuck with Meek heavy. I'm not getting twisted. I did. Timbo fucked with Drake. I fucked with Drake a little bit. Not with my bro Timbo, but I fuck with Meek.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I would say this, Timbo, real quick before we get into some more shit about Drake. True or false, sir? This is your bro, Aubrey Trizzy. Is the pressure not on him to come through with this next album, Timbo? Because as much as views sold, as much as it did, cool, that shit wasn't fire to me. It was not for me. Nigga, I play that shit my wife, and I'm only asking me, like, this shit is depressing. It's depressing. So he's going to sell on the strength of him. But I did find it when he was talking about him, he embraces being a pop artist more than a rapper. That's what I took in the interview also. He embraces being more of a pop artist than being a rapper. I don't know.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. It's crazy, yeah. It's crazy. Yo, I want to talk about this a little bit more, and I think we need to break this down a little bit more. Is there any way we can download this and I could we could do another short show?
Yeah. What you want to do?
I'm just getting to the crib right now.
Let's go.
Just getting in. All right. Well, I'll text you. We'll end it right now, and then I'll text you after the show, and then we'll make another one happen.
All right, my G. All right.
All right, yo, PSA motherfucking radio. You already know what the fuck this is, man. We live. We direct. We coming back for a second one tonight. Yo, let's get it, man. Motherfucking PSA Radio, my bro Dre, 3 Letterman. Take us out, my G.
shout out to fucking Kenny Anderson for coming on the show, man. Shout out to the stories breakdown we did, talking about Drizzy. You already know the Hollow Down Battle, our interviews up there. A-Verb is up there. Math Alpha. And Kimbo, I want you to get a chance. Please watch Math Alpha because me and you got to talk about Math Alpha. I already broke it down, but we're just going to talk about him.
I got you.
And break him down. So, because that shit was sad to watch, my G. That was sad.
Got you, brother. I'll check it out.
PSA, man. Y'all already know what it is, man. I'll let you boys, man.
Yep, sir. Yeah.